answer to a question of murder.
The Whistler, brought to you by HFC, Household Finance Corporation, with 449 branch offices throughout the United States and Canada. Now, another strange tale by the Whistler. It began that first day after her honeymoon when Ted Randolph brought her to the old house that held so many memories for him. Carol paused, smiling on the threshold, wondering if he would observe the sentimental custom of carrying her across. And he did. But when he had set her down again, somehow she realized that it had been a mistake.
Darling, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up memories.
Oh, forget it, Carol.
We can't entirely, Ted. But you'll never stand in our way, darling, I promise.
I said forget it. After all, she's dead. And if anything about this house makes you unhappy, I'll tear it down stone by stone.
Yes, in the beginning it was only something to be sensed, and Carol did try to forget it. But there was no denying that the house seemed to change Ted somehow, the house and the people in it. Even old Mrs. Carter, who had been with Ted's family for so many years, seemed to have a strange reserve about her, a veil something behind the surface of cordiality.
It's a pleasure to welcome you here, Carol. I'm sure Ted will be happier now.
Oh, thank you. He's told me so much about you, Mrs. Carter.
Well, I practically raised him. Then after his father died and he and Francis... I'm sorry.
It's all right, Mrs. Carter. I don't mind talking about Francis if you want to.
But I don't. It'd be best
Mrs.
if we...
Mrs. Carter.
Oh. Hello, Ted. We were just getting acquainted.
Hello, darling.
Well, I thought you might want to look around the grounds, Carol.
I'd love to. You'll excuse us, Mrs. Carter.
Of course. I've got my work to do. Oh, did Gillis unpack your things?
Gillis?
I meant to talk to you about that, Ted. Later.
Yes, Mrs. Carter. Come along, Carol. Well, how about the rose garden first?
Fine. Ted?
Yes, darling?
What was that about Gillis?
Why, nothing, Carol. Nothing for you to worry about.
Afternoon, ma'am.
Hello. You must be Gillis.
Yes.
I didn't get a chance to thank you for putting everything away for me. I appreciate it, Gillis.
That's what I'm supposed to do, ma'am. You want both windows open, ma'am?
One's fine. Gillis. It's an unusual name.
My name's really Mary, ma'am. She always called me Gillis. Said it sounded more continental-like.
The first, Mrs. Randolph?
Well, that's right. Oh, sorry, ma'am. I didn't mean...
Gillis, let's understand each other. I'm not sensitive about Mr. Randolph having been married before. You don't have to feel strange around me. I'm sure we're going to get along just fine.
Then you've spoken to Mr. Randolph about me.
Spoken to him?
Yes, I mean... Well, he said that I should be let go.
Oh?
Mrs. Carter says it's because I talk too much. I don't mean to. Words don't come easy for me, ma'am. The right ones, I mean. And when they ask me all those questions at the inquest...
Inquest? Oh, Gillis, you don't mean inquest. They only hold an inquest when there's something strange about a death.
I know, ma'am. And there certainly was something strange about... I mean, did you want anything else, ma'am?
No. No, you can go now. I won't need anything further, Gillis.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Carol, it all began slowly. But as you watch Gillis shuffle down the hall, you're conscious of a chill in the air. And in spite of yourself, you shudder slightly before you're able to push it out of your mind and go downstairs to join Ted. But by the following evening, the whole incident is forgotten as you and Ted entertain Dave Arnold, one of his oldest friends.
Oh, I'll never forget that one.
Yes, you must have really had good times together.
Good and bad, Aunt Dad.
That's right.
So I must say you've always managed to get the things you wanted from life. That's a compliment, Carol, from an envious dyed-in-the-wool bachelor. Oh,
you shouldn't complain, Dave. There's certainly something you can do about that.
Nope, too busy with my career.
Oh? Well, Ted's in the district attorney's office. He found time for marriage.
That's just it. His boss is in. Mine wants to get in. You know, when these political machines get entrenched...
You make it sound horrible. No defense, darling?
We don't need one. We put our case up to the voters, remember?
I certainly do. What we need is a Ted Randolph to run our campaign. I couldn't swing you over to our side, could I, Ted? We can promise big things, too, you know.
I'm afraid not, Dave. Oh, I'll admit your candidate's all right, but I think our man's a little better.
Well, nothing to do then but dig up some dirt in your past and smear you.
Dave!
I'm joking, Carol. Deadly business, politics. Well, I had no idea it was so late. I've got to run. Big day for me tomorrow.
So soon?
I'm afraid so.
Well, nice to see you again, Dave.
And make it more often in the future.
Thanks. Got a deal. The dinner was wonderful, Carol. Well, good night, Ted.
Good night.
Carol.
Anytime, Dave. Good night.
Good night.
Is everything all right, Ted?
Hmm? Oh, sure. It's perfect.
I liked him.
Dave? Oh, he's all right.
All right? I think he's charming. And he likes you. The way he hangs on every word when you're talking.
Just waiting for me to make a slip.
A slip? Oh, Ted.
Does that surprise you?
Surprise? It shocks me. You're not serious.
Well, look, darling, I love you, but sometimes you're a little naive. Dave's an old friend, yes, but he's in the opposite camp. Don't forget that. Why, he'd use anything to get us out of office. And he wasn't kidding when he said he'd smear me if he could.
Ted, you must be exaggerating. Besides, what could he possibly find out about you that would... I mean...
Carol, I've got some work to do. Would you excuse me for a
while? Ted, wait.
Yes?
Ted, I've been wanting to talk to you. Tell me, how did you and Francis get along?
Why, we quarreled.
Is that all?
No. There was a girl named Carol I met on a trip to St. Louis over one New Year's. It was a girl I'd known for years. And after Francis died, I married her. I love her very much. And that's all that's important.
Oh, Ted. Ted, you didn't ever quarrel with Francis about me?
Is that what's worrying you? Why, of course not, darling. Now, forget it, please.
After that, you do try to forget, don't you, Carol? But it isn't that easy. When you go upstairs to your room, Gillis is there. You discover that she's not only talkative, but inquisitive, too. Worst of all, she asks a question that you can't answer, a startling question.
Excuse me, ma'am, but will Mr. Ben ever be back?
Who's Mr. Ben?
Oh, why, Mr. Randolph's brother, ma'am. You've never met him?
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes, Ted's brother.
I wondered if they'd ever patch things up. It was a terrible argument they had, you know. The day Mrs. Randolph died. I'll never forget that. Shocking way to start the new year.
The new year?
It was just a few days after. I remember Mr. Randolph had just come back from a trip to St. Louis. Oh, it was terrible, ma'am. They had a regular knockdown and drag out. She came screaming about a divorce.
A divorce?
That's what they quarreled about. Mrs. Randolph said she'd rather be dead than go on, things being like they were. Huh. Poor woman. Little did she know that in less than 12 hours from then, she would be dead.
What did you say, Gillis? What? When did she die?
The very next morning, early. Well, didn't you know, ma'am?
No.
Oh, it was an accident. She started to fix her bath and slipped somehow. Tried to grab something to keep from falling and caught a loose wire from the electric heater.
Oh, no.
She was electrocuted, ma'am, on the spot. Oh, it was terrible. I've never been able to get it out of my mind. Oh, if only poor Mrs. Randolph had known that the heater had been tampered with.
In just a moment, we continue with The Whistler. Brought to you by HFC, Household Finance Corporation.
Excuse me, Mr. Wagner. May I speak to you for a moment?
Well, yes, of course.
Last week, for the first time in my life, I needed extra money, and I needed it badly. I hesitated to borrow until a former household finance customer convinced me it was the right thing to do. I would like to take this opportunity to tell you that the courteous and businesslike manner with which my application was handled is, to me, one of the most gratifying things I've experienced.
Thank you. That's indeed a wonderful recommendation for our sponsor, Household Finance Corporation. And Household Finance has grown on these recommendations. As a matter of fact, one in every three new customers is sent to Household Finance by someone we have helped. Since 1878, HFC has offered reliable money service to families and individuals. Yes, people just as you who are in temporary need of extra cash are the people who make up the bulk of households' customers. These people, because of some unexpected emergency, must have a source of ready cash when they need it. Household Finance Corporation is that source. Household Finance also says, never borrow unless you must. But if you have to borrow, do it the right way. Borrow from friendly, dependable HFC, Household Finance Corporation. Now again. The Whistler. It's closing in, isn't it, Carol? Like dark warning clouds before the storm. You're sure now that Ted lied about the argument with Francis, his first wife. He told you that it was nothing serious, didn't concern you. But from what Gillis has told you, you know the quarrel was over you. And that shortly afterwards, Francis was dead. It's a terrible knowledge you possess, isn't it? Because you don't know what to do about it. The next morning, you make an excuse, stay in your room through breakfast. You don't want to face Ted until you've thought it all through. And you spend the rest of the morning walking the grounds, going over the whole nightmare in your mind. Then as you start back across the terrace to the house.
Well, hello.
What?
You must be the new Mrs. Randolph, hmm?
I'm sorry, I don't believe we...
No, my dear, we haven't met. But we're going to be real friends. I'm Ben, Ted's brother. I'm sure he's told you all about Brother Ben.
Oh, yes, certainly. Ted's spoken of you so often, I did wonder when I was going to have the pleasure of...
Say now, you are a sweet one. Little white lies and all. Shall we go into the house, Carol?
Oh, but you have talked to Ted about me.
Frankly, no. I simply read the papers. I was going to run down here sooner, but I allowed time for you two to get back from the honeymoon and...
Carol?
I really wanted a few moments to talk to you.
Well?
Yes, it's me, Carter. The prodigal. The black sheep.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ben. You can't stay.
Mrs. Carter.
I have my orders.
But why?
Oh, so you haven't told her about me, Mrs. Carter. What a rascal I am. A stealer.
Please, Mr. Ben. Don't make it unpleasant for me. I'm hired to do exactly as
Teddy Boy wishes. I know. And you love it, don't you? You do it anyway. My, how pleasant it must be to find one's niche in the world. Have you found yours, Carol? You know just where you fit in?
I think I do. Ted is...
No, you know, you are sweet. I can still spot them, cynical as I've become about it all.
Mr. Ben, please.
Now, now, old girl, don't get the blood pressure up. I'm not staying. I have a perfectly satisfactory place to stay in town. The Marlborough. Nothing but the best.
I'll show you out.
Don't bother. I'll go out this way, the door I came in. Bad luck, they say, to do otherwise, and I can't stand any more bad luck. Good afternoon.
The nerve.
Just a minute, Mrs. Carter.
Yes, Carol?
Mrs. Carter, I found you very kind, very considerate since I came here, but I think I have a right to...
I'm sorry, Carol. Really. But about Ben...
He chose to accept your suggestion to leave. Why?
Carol, please, I don't think this is the sort of thing we should discuss. I've liked you since the moment I met you. I knew you'd make Ted happy.
In a marriage, there's a little more than one person's happiness to consider, Mrs. Carter.
Of course, child. I know that. I'm only trying to say that... Well, Ben is not a nice person. He upsets Ted. He upsets all of us. Oh, please, dear, why not forget what happened? Enjoy your husband, Carol, and your beautiful home. Just don't puzzle and fret over things that are dead and gone.
I wish it were that simple, Mrs. Carter. Mr. Ben Randolph, please.
Thank you.
Yes?
Ben, this is Carol.
Oh, yes. How sweet of you, Carol, to call me here.
Ben, I can't talk very long. I want to see you right away. Is that possible?
Indeed it is. I'm free as the breeze. Room 1202. I'll be waiting for you.
Couldn't we meet in the cocktail bar or someplace? I don't think...
Sweet ones are all like that. Too good to live, but not to drink. They have a delightful cocktail bar here, Carol. Meet you in, say, half an hour? That is, if you're sure you want to come.
I am sure, Ben. And thank you.
You are sure, aren't you, Carol? The time has passed when you can push your doubts away in a corner of your mind. You must know all the facts. And Ted's brother Ben seems to be the only one you can turn to. 20 minutes later, you park your car in the garage at the Marlborough, take the elevator to the street floor, and start across the lobby to the cocktail lounge.
Carol, wait a minute.
Ted.
Yes. Mrs. Carter called me. I'm sorry, Carol, but I don't want you to meet him.
She told you. She heard me call. She was spying on me.
No, she wasn't. She just happened to hear you mention his name, that's all. I guessed the rest. I won't let you see him.
Is there some reason why I shouldn't, Ted?
No, Carol, only that it won't do you any good. I'll have to ask you to go home. I'll deal with my brother, Ben.
You turn and hurry away from Ted. Driving home, your hands tremble holding the wheel. By the time you reach the house, you feel terribly ill. Your brain seems to pound miserably. And as you start up the stairs, your legs grow weaker and weaker until they give way beneath you. When you awaken, you find yourself in bed. Mrs. Carter is looking down at you, smiling her quiet, assured smile.
Feeling better, Carol?
Better? Why, I feel fine. Why did you put me to bed? I want to get up.
You fainted going up the stairs. I told Ted when he came home. And he agrees that you should stay in bed for a while. Is there anything you want me to bring you?
No. No. Nothing. Just leave me alone.
It's a breathless moment now, isn't it, Carol? The quiet before the storm. You fight against the feeling that perhaps you're to be held prisoner.
But as you hear Mrs. Carter's footsteps going down the stairs, you'll realize you must know for certain. You cross to the door, find it unlocked, and tiptoe to the head of the stairs. Then you stop, frozen in your tracks, as Ted's voice drifts up from the study.
Dave Arnold, huh? Well, we expected him to do some snooping. Yes, he was here to dinner. But I know we didn't let anything slip. But you know how I feel about it, Chief. If anything I've done should prevent you from being reelected. My wife? No, you don't have to worry about her. But I'm sure of it. You see, I haven't told her about it, and I don't intend to. It wouldn't do any of us any good.
Yes, the storm has broken now, hasn't it, Carol? And the meaning of everything that's happened is clear to you. The man Ted was talking to was the district attorney. He knows the truth and is helping to cover it up. And then you remember what Dave Arnold said about entrenched political machines. It's more than just you now, isn't it, Carol? More than just your happiness and your love for your husband. And you know, too, that there's only one thing left to do. You go back to your room, take a piece of paper from the desk, and scrawl a hurried note. Then, a few minutes later...
You rang for me, ma'am?
Yes, Gillis. Here. I've written a letter. I want you to take it and mail it.
A letter? Yes, ma'am.
And, Gillis, it must be done right away. Don't let anything stop you.
Oh, I won't, ma'am.
Hide it, Gillis. Hide the letter. Come in.
Oh, Gillis. I didn't know you were in here.
She was just leaving, Mrs. Carter. Thanks for looking in, Gillis, but I don't need anything. You can go.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything I can do for you, Carol?
No, Mrs. Carter. There's nothing anyone can do for me right now.
In just a moment, the Whistler returns with the strange ending to tonight's story. But first, a message from our sponsor, HFC, Household Finance Corporation. Do you need a loan? Want to get it promptly with no delay? Then remember the letters HFC. They mean Household Finance Corporation, where you get the money you need when you need it. Household Finance makes loans for almost any worthwhile purpose. For example, to pay doctor, dentist, or hospital bills. Taxes, fuel, insurance, or to meet an emergency. At HFC, you may borrow $50, $100, $200 or more, and you may select any one of a number of repayment plans to fit your income. No endorsers or guarantors are needed. Service at Household Finance is prompt and friendly. There is an HFC office near your home. Look in your telephone directory under Household Finance Corporation for the office nearest you. And make a mental note of this. HFC means Household Finance Corporation. Money when you need it. Now, back to the Whistler. You can't fight the storm anymore, can you, Carol? You're weary of it, of thinking about Ted and the way Frances, his first wife, died. It was shortly after he saw you in St. Louis that she refused him a divorce. And it's all too clear to you what happened to her. It's an hour now since you gave Gillis the note for Dave Arnold explaining everything. And suddenly you realize that you can't face Ted when it's over. You want to get away. Take a train for another city. Try somehow to forget. Put this terrible nightmare behind you. You dress quickly, slip out into the hall, and tiptoe down the stairs. You wait until you can hear Mrs. Carter in another part of the house. Then you run for the door. You're hurrying down the drive to the garage where your car is parked when...
Well.
What?
We meet again, Carol. And just where I ran into you before.
Ben.
No, don't let me alarm you. Ted's furious enough with me as it is. I came to apologize.
He talked to you about me?
He certainly did. Ah, poor old Ted. His women give him a good deal of trouble. Frances led him a merry chase in another direction, of course.
Frances?
Mm-hmm. First, she spent his money on herself. When that got boring, she started spending some of it on me. That was pleasant for a while.
You mean Francis was interested in you?
Interested? Oh, you're so sweet. Naive. It's refreshing. Positively refreshing this day and age.
Tell me about it, Ben.
Oh, yeah. Well, she wanted to marry me. Scared me silly when I found out. We had our laughs together, yes, but marriage, well, now that's a bit more than stealing your little brother's slingshot, hmm?
You and Francis. That's why Ted asked her for a divorce. It wasn't me at all.
You didn't ask her for a divorce, Carol. She asked him. They had a terrible row about it, but, well, you know, Ted, he clings to that for better or worse idea. And, well, then, too, there's his position, the election and all. They decided that it wasn't the sort of thing to let that Dave Arnold crowd find out about and twist all out of shape.
Her accident. Ben, what did happen?
Well, don't say you got this from me, but it's simple enough. Frances wanted to kill Ted Carroll. She smeared the bathtub with soap and ran the electric heater wire along and back of the towel rack.
What?
Yeah, only instead of Ted grabbing it, she got it herself. Really an accident, hmm?
And Ted protected her. Kept it quiet.
Well, it was as much for his boss as for her. A district attorney couldn't get any place with rumors floating around that one of his boys...
Ted's voice calling from the house seems to bring your heart up to your throat. You move slowly along the drive, almost stumbling, the tears starting as you realize what you've done. That note you sent to Dave, it'll ruin Ted, the district attorney, everything. You reach the terrace, stop, unable to go any further.
Carol?
Mrs. Carter. Carol, Ted's calling you.
Mrs. Carter, I can't talk to him now.
Yes, you can. Please forgive a meddling old lady, Carol. But I took this letter from Gillis. Yeah.
Letter?
You didn't really want it mailed, did you?
Oh, Mrs. Carter.
Carol, where are you, Carol?
Your husband is calling, Mrs. Randolph.
The Whistler is produced and directed by William N. Robeson, with tonight's story by Beth Barnes, music by Lud Gluskin. Featured tonight were Gene Bates as Carol, Joseph Kearns as Ted, and John Hoyt as Ben. The Whistler, transmitted overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service, is heard in Canada over facilities of the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. For the Whistler cast in action, see the September issue of Movie Stars Parade, now on your newsstand. This is Murray Wagner speaking for HFC and reminding you, never borrow unless you must. But if you have to borrow, do it the right way. Borrow at HFC, Household Finance Corporation. This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.